Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
And a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Somebody say he was begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Somebody say he got louder. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Turn to the closest neighbor to you and just tell him, "Shh." You ever been shushed at the movies? I'm the shusher at the movies. I like Alamo Drafthouse because they make you be quiet. But I've been shushed, but I'm normally the shusher controlling the volume around you. Amen. You may be seated. This is the final message in our series, Tuning Out the Noise. How many of you know the enemy loves to use the volume around you to drown out the voice of God? The Bible says this. The Bible says that the seed is the word of God in Luke. And that the enemy comes immediately to steal the word. You know what that tells me? It tells me that even the enemy knows how powerful the word of God is. Because if he didn't know how powerful it was, he wouldn't try to steal it. But he knows, oh, if Brandon ever catches that word, if Brandon ever obeys that word, if Brandon ever takes that word, that seed, and puts it in the ground, it is going to produce something in his life. So the Bible says the enemy comes immediately to steal the word of God. And so we know the enemy's always drowning out the voice of God. And that still small voice that we talked about from the very first session causes us to have to lean in to Jesus. See, I hear that phrase a lot, lean into Jesus. What does that mean? You being here on a Wednesday night, you are leaning in. Because you left your job and drove straight to church tonight. You picked up your kids from school, the last couple days of school, and you pulled through Chick-fil-A, that's God's chicken. And you fed them in the car, and you came straight to church. You didn't get to go home. That's you leaning in to what God is doing. Stopping whatever you're doing on a Thursday or Friday and praying, that's you leaning in. Has the Holy Spirit ever just captured your attention on a weekday when church wasn't going on and you stopped and you leaned in? We lean in so that we can hear the still small voice of God, and so we focused in on, number one, to focus our hearing, a sustained concentration. Because a focused follower is what makes us disciples of Jesus Christ. Number two, we discovered the difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is the ability to hear and receive sound actually inside your ear, but listening is to give attention with the ear for the purpose of understanding, for the purpose to obey, to heed. Number three, last week we talked about the power of the mute button. And I flipped the script because when we think about, oh, I wish I had a mute button for them is not the one you should be the most worried about. It is the voice of yourself and my voice and making sure that I don't talk myself out of a miracle, that I don't talk myself out of the word of God. You say, how can I talk myself out of the word of God? Oh, you can stand on the word of God. You can speak in faith, but in a weak moment, you can make one negative comment. You can say one negative sentence that undoes everything that you've been standing on for the first 5 months of this year. And so sometimes we got to mute ourselves like Gabriel muted Zechariah. He said, Zechariah, I can't afford for you to talk yourself out of this miracle called John, because John the Baptist is going to be born and he's going to prepare the way for Jesus to show up on this earth, which I didn't get to last week. When we mute ourselves, and we do not allow ourselves to speak against the word of God, what we are doing is we are producing the thing that is going to allow Jesus to show up in our lives. Don't say something on Thursday that keeps God from showing up on Friday. The power of the mute button. And number four, the power of selective hearing is where we left off last session. talking about Job. Job asked the question, and then his friend Elihu answered the question, "My ears try words like my mouth tries meat. If you live long enough at all, even when you fed your toddlers, you found out real quick that they didn't like strained zucchini. Why would we even try to puree zucchini and feed it to children? But we find out by the look on their face that they don't like it. And we have to get really creative with the airplane and try to swerve them to get them to eat something that they don't like. And so when we digest or ingest something we don't like, we make up our mind, I'm never going to eat that again. But we should be just as discriminatory with the words that come in to our ears because they shape what comes out of our mouth. And so when you hear something that does not align with the word of God, we have to be faith-filled enough to say, nope, that goes against the promise of God. That doesn't line up with what God has said about me, about my vision, about my future. If we're going to tune out the noise, church, we must become proficient at hearing every word. Listen to this. Hearing every word, but only listening to some words and only obeying God's word. I hear everything. I only listen to some things. And the only thing I obey is the voice of God. So when someone says something to me, I have to, oh, this is good. I have to have enough word in me that when I hear what they say, the word of God comes up and starts speaking for me. That does not align with what God has said. That does not align with the promise of God. And so instead of me wasting a week, a month, or you wasting a year or a decade of your life, you don't waste not 2 minutes because you discard that thing and you say, that didn't taste good, that didn't sound good, and so I'm not going to receive that word. And so I hear everything, I listen to some things, and I only obey God's voice. And here we are, number five. What to do when you can't control the volume? You know, there's a lot of places you can control the volume. Your house should be a house of peace. Your home should be a place of solitude, a place of comfort, a place where the presence of God is real and thick. You should not allow things in your house that disrupt what God and the blessing of God and his presence in your life. If you have family members that are still knuckleheads, go to their house. Don't let them come to yours. You know what's great about going to your house? I can leave at any moment. A few years ago, we had a New Year's Eve party at my house. For those of you who know Mandy is a night owl. She wakes up very early in the morning, but she will be to sleep at 9:30 or 10 o'clock every night other than Wednesday nights. So, of course, our New Year's party lasts until 1 or 2 in the morning. And so after it strikes midnight and everything's done, she goes around and she tells everybody at our party, as a good host should, she tells them, thank you for coming. It was great having you here, but I'm going to bed. And so she shook everybody's hand, told everybody good night, and then she went in the bedroom. The only thing is we were in the backyard and we could see the bedroom windows even though the blinds were closed, and she was in there watching TV. Wait, you just told everybody you were going to sleep. So what you're really saying is I'm tired of you. See, when you have people in your space, you get to control their volume in your life. The problem is you can't stay home all day because you cannot fulfill God's plan for your life in your bedroom. God has called us to great things. God has called some of us to go places around the world. God has called some of us to be evangelists and missionaries, not across the sea, but across the block or across the hallway of your office building. And so I'm here to tell you, God is going to call you to places where you cannot control the volume. Bartimaeus was faced with the volume from others in his situation that he could not control. Mark chapter 10, verse 46, and here we are. And they being Jesus and his disciples, came to Jericho. And as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Now, I don't want to make light of the homeless and the begging scenarios and situations in San Antonio and in Austin, but it's getting out of hand. Some things need to be done, but I'm not here to talk about that. But I've never seen anyone beg like this. Psst, hey, can you give me some money? They yell. Even if you try to ignore them and don't act like you never have, they'll follow you. Hey, I know you got some money. Come on now. This beggar was not whispering, because there's a lot of noise in the city streets. Come on, somebody. The volume is turned up, and a lot of the volume is not even directed at Bartimaeus. It's just the white noise around him. People are buying and selling in the streets. The marketplace is full. The hustle and bustle. I remember the energy that I felt in cities like New Orleans and San Francisco and New York City and even Austin, Texas. The energy in those cities is palpable. It's loud. And most people have gotten used to that noise. But me being from the country, it was eye-opening that the noise never stops. And if you are waiting for a quiet time to hear from God in 2022, my friend, you are going to be waiting for a very, very, very long time, because this world is not getting quieter. This world is getting louder. This world has turned up the volume. This world seems to be speaking amplified and with megaphones and through bullhorns. And so Bartimaeus had the decision: either I can go home broke, or I can match the level of their volume. Or, as we see him do, I can exceed the level of their volume. I want to encourage people in the room today, it's not the time to be quiet. It's not the time to take a moment of silence. Your silence is your answer. Jesus asked the 12 disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And everybody had an answer. But when he said, "But who do you say that I am?" 11 disciples did not say a word. And then Peter stands up with this great proclamation. And as great as Peter's proclamation was, the silence of the 11 so-called disciples was deafening. Can I tell you, church, in 2022, now is not the time to be quiet. Now is not the time to take your seat. Now is not the time to be politically correct. Now is not the time to bide your time. Now we've got to not just match their volume, we've got to exceed their volume. If you're here, I'm here. If you're here, I'm here. If you're going to be loud about everything you're loud about, you best bet that I'm going to be loud about my Jesus, about my God, about my faith, about his faithfulness, about my testimony and what he's done in my life. Somebody say, get loud. The noise of this world had shifted Bartimaeus's focus. And please bear with me the next few moments as we bounce between the physical and the spiritual. Bartimaeus is blind. He didn't need money. He needed sight. But he spent every day of his life begging for what he wanted, not getting what he needed. Every day we are surrounded with people, and there are some in this room tonight, that we are so concerned with what we want and we ignore what we need. Can I encourage you? Your prayers should not just be for what you want, but you should be praying, God, open up my eyes. Because if I keep begging for what I want and I don't seek you for what I need, I'm smart enough to know that if God provides what I need, I can make sure I get what I'm begging for and the thing that I want. The noise of the world had shifted Bartimaeus's focus onto what he wanted, not what he needed. I'm sure the first few moments, and I don't know if he was born blind, I don't know if it was a cognitive disease that just happened, a congestive disease that just happened. I don't know. I don't know if he was born that way. All I know is that every day that went by, he cared less and less about his sight, and he cared more and more about how effective he could beg. when God had never created us to be beggars. God has called us to walk in authority that he has given us. When we cannot hear the voice of God clearly in our lives, it will change our desires and our appetite. I think a younger Bartimaeus was going to doctors. I think a younger Bartimaeus was going to optometrists. I think a younger Bartimaeus was going to doctors trying to get his need met. But every day that his need was not met, His focus and perspective shifted from what he needed to what he wanted, because the enemy knew if I can get him focused on what he wants, what he needs will soon be forgotten. And if he doesn't get what he needs, I will control him for the rest of my life. And so instead of Bartimaeus marrying and having children and fulfilling Jehovah's plan for his life, every day he wakes up and he puts on his beggar garment and he goes to the city gates of Jericho and he sits along the side of the road in the gutter and in the alleyway and he begs, when God did not call him to beg, but his focus had been shifted. Saying, please give me money, when that's not what he needed. He wanted money but needed sight. Verse 47, and when he heard, somebody say, when he heard, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. God just opened so many things to me in this text these past few weeks. And when Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, what he heard unleashed his voice. What he heard unleashed his voice. As great as the singers that you hear on this platform on Sundays and Wednesdays, God wants to hear your voice just as much as their voice. Even if your voice is not melodic, he put a verse in his word that says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. You say, well, people don't like my singing. Well, your singing's not for people. So what you hear should affect what you say. So if you ain't saying nothing, you ain't hearing nothing. If you ain't hearing nothing, it's not because Jesus isn't saying nothing. It's because the noise of the world has grown at such a level that you are now hearing them instead of hearing him. But oh, when he heard that Jesus was near, the Bible says he began to cry out. What he heard unleashed his voice. What he heard changed what he said. Give me money. Now it's give me sight. Spare some change, take me to Jesus. What you hear will affect what you say. And what you say will affect what you receive and the direction you go. If you don't like what you're seeing, change what you're saying. If you don't like the direction you're going, change what you're saying. And make sure that what you're saying is not, doesn't just sound good, but make sure it is the word of God, baptized in faith, that is spoken with a voice of authority from a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. He went from a beggar to a seeker in all of a matter of a few moments when he heard that Jesus was near. Can I encourage those of you in the room and online today? I know you can't see him, but Jesus is in the room. Jesus is near. Jesus is here. So it should change what we say. If you hear somebody talking crazy, it's because they're not hearing the right things. They're not hearing the right things. They're not leaning into Jesus like they should. What went into his ear, check this out, transformed what came out of his mouth. That should cause us to guard our ears a little better. That should cause us to stay away from certain conversations. Stay away from certain people. How many of you know a negative person? They're just naturally negative. Come on, I fight it every day. There's a lot of times when you're going to have to make a decision. I'm not going to be around them, because what they say, I'm gonna hear it. And I don't want my life going that direction. Get this next point into your spirit. For those of you that understand all of the senses, check this out. They'll put it on the wall. A man that needed his sight or his vision, a man that needed his sight had to first hear right. For a man's eyes to work right, he had to hear right. For a man's eyes to work right, his ears had to work right so that he could speak right. Now hold on. A man that wanted sight, wanted his eyes to work, had to have his ears work correctly so that he could speak right, so that he could see right. Some of us are expecting God to come at our eyes and for our vision to heal our vision. But what if God, when you say, God, heal my sight, what if God touches your ear? Oh, don't miss it. Come on now. What if you say, God, my vision is growing blurry. My vision, I'm losing focus. What if God touches your tongue? Zechariah had his mouth closed because he could not buy into what the word of God was saying into his ear. And Gabriel knew that Zechariah would talk himself out of his miracle. A man that needed his sight first had to hear right so that he could speak right, so that he could see right. Verse 48, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know my biggest problem with verse 48 is that the crowd ignored him when he was begging for money. But the moment his perspective shifted and he started seeking Jesus, they told him to shut up. Isn't it amazing that this world, when you had a drug problem, ignored you? When you had an alcohol problem, ignored you? When you were on your second or third marriage and things were heading the direction of the previous two, they ignored you. But the moment Jesus changes your life around and you start looking and seeking and following after him, they want to put us in a corner, put us in a box. They want to label us as intolerant and hateful people. I am here to tell you, you didn't mind when I was begging for money, and you're just going to have to put up with me seeking Jesus. Because when I was begging for money, you gave me enough to keep me alive. But now that I have come across a man that will change my life. It's amazing that the crowd ignored him when he was asking for his wants to be fulfilled. But they got in his face and told him to shut up when he called to Jesus to have his needs fulfilled. So what do we do when we can't control their volume? We simply get louder. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man. And I just, in my mind, I'm looking at this story. The same people that just told him to shut up, God said, hey, you go get him. The same people that tried to shut you up are going to be the ones that God uses to position you for the greatest breakthrough and miracle of your life. And Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. You just told me to shut up. Rise, for Jesus calleth me. Three of the greatest words in this entire text are Jesus stood still. There's so many times where we wonder if God can hear us, when the bigger question is can you hear him? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they said, shut up. But something in him said, no, I've been blind for too long. I've been begging for too long. If Jesus is near me, I want him to fix me. The Bible says that Jesus stood still. Your hearing and your speaking will lead Jesus to standing still in your life. I don't want Jesus, church, to pass through here on Wednesday nights. I don't want Jesus to visit my house just when I'm praying, when I'm worshiping, or when I'm praising. I want Jesus to stand still in my life and never vacate my heart, my life, my marriage, my family, my address, my house, my church. One of the scariest texts in all of the Bible is when Samson was being betrayed by Delilah. The Bible says he did not even understand and did not realize that the Spirit of God had left him. See, I want Jesus to stand still. See, when I've got a mess, I don't want him to walk by. I want him to come stand right in the middle of my mess. Because when Jesus stands in the middle of your mess becomes a miracle. When Jesus stands in the middle of the craziness and the chaos of your situation, that's when it becomes a testimony. When was the last time that we prayed, Jesus, I want you to stand here. I want you to abide here. I don't need to ask you for anything. I don't want anything. I just want you here. I don't want your hand. I want your presence. I don't want your face. I want your presence. I just want you. Praise team, come. I just want you. Jesus stood still. He commanded him to be called. They said, Jesus is calling you. Be of good comfort. Verse 50, and he cast away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Cast away his beggarly garment. The greatest sign of faith was not that he went and had a conversation with Jesus. The greatest statement of faith was that he took off the thing that everybody identified with him as a beggar. And he said, I'll never need this again. Because when I talk to Jesus, all of my attention is now on him. I am hearing him. And now that I'm hearing him, I'm about to see something. And when I see what I see, I'm not going to need to beg another day of my life. Can I encourage you? I don't know what garment you've been wearing, but you need to shed the garment of depression tonight. You need to shed the garment of anxiety tonight. You need to shed the garment of poverty tonight. You need to shed the garment of sick tonight. You need to shed the garment of beg tonight. You need to shed the garment of their opinion tonight. You need to shed the garment of false religion tonight. You need to shed the garment of in one day and out the next. Whatever you've been identified with, it ends tonight. And I want to encourage you, before you come to his presence, go ahead and take off that garment, because you're never going to need it again. He rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him. What do you mean Jesus answered? Bartimaeus hasn't said anything. Oh, yes, he did. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. 3, 4, 5, 6 minutes later, Jesus was reminded him, even though you thought I couldn't hear you, I heard you. Even when you couldn't hear me, I kept talking. He answered and he said, what do you want me to do? Jesus, it's obvious what he needs. Jesus knows that he needs his sight. But Jesus wanted to make sure Bartimaeus was ready for sight and not loose change. Because everybody else that had said, hey, what do you want? Give me money. Give me a Big Mac. But he had never said, hey, give me my sight. But he's in the presence of Jesus. All eyes are on him. Including Jesus. What would you have me to do for you today? My sight, Lord, I want to see. You know what I love about the presence of Jesus, church? It changes my requests. Because when I'm not in the Spirit, I request silly things, stupid things, things that are not in the will of God, things that are not going to be a blessing, things are not going to be an addition or an asset to my life, but in fact, they'll be a liability. But in the presence of Jesus, things change. I end with this. Please stand on your feet. And I want to say this right, because I believe it's a powerful statement. Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do?" In actuality, he's asking a blind man to describe what he needs. What does it look like that you need? I don't know what you're going through tonight, church. I don't know, and I haven't heard the conversations you've had with God or about God. I don't know what's going on in family dynamics. I don't know the conversations you've had with yourself. I don't know how many sleepless nights there have been. But I do know this. But those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The only way that Jesus can save you is if he's with you. So I want to encourage you today. You're not standing in the presence of a man. You're not standing in the presence of just friends and family. You are standing in the presence of the Old Testament Jehovah God, but we know him as Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And I want to encourage you, that should change what you ask for tonight. I believe June 1st, 2022, that your asks are going to be different tonight. Because you've tuned out the voice, you've tuned out the noise of the world, and now it's an audience of one, you and Jesus tonight. And now it's not about new cars, now it's not about new homes, now it's about you receiving vision and the things that you need, instead of always talking about the things you want. As I pray and as I have my eyes closed, I hear people crying real tears. That's real life, church. You're watching online tonight, tears streaming down your face. You say, "I wish I was there." We wish you were here too, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus is standing in your apartment today, and he's asking the same question: what would you have me to do for you today? Please, please don't ask something small. Please don't only ask for your wants. Ask for that need that has plagued you and your family for decades. Ask for that deliverance that's going to transform everything. Come on, Bartimaeus, keep talking. He hears you. I know they told you to shut up. I know the enemy's lied to you. I know that your flesh and sometimes has said, "This is not worth it. It's not working." I want to encourage you, keep talking, keep crying out to God. This altar at Living Way is a special place, but you can do the same thing in your bedroom, in your living room, on your couch, at the foot of your bed. You can cry out and say, "Jesus, Jesus." And he will meet you there, and he will have the same conversation. I'm not going to ask every person individually, but for those of you in this altar tonight, what would you have God do for you tonight? What would you have God do for you tonight? If you could have him say anything and do anything, what would that look like tonight? What would that be tonight? Come on, take the limits off of your God. Take the limits off of your faith. Take the limits off of his word. This is a move and this is a moment. Bartimaeus, you're about to have vision unlike any other vision in your life, but he needs you to quit listening to them. As we get ready to pray, and I'm going to ask our pastoral team to go ahead and start laying hands. I'm going to meet you down here in just a moment, but I want to encourage those of you in this room and online. If you need Jesus, this is your moment.